for joining us, Peter.
Great. Thank you, Amy. It's a real pleasure, too. And what I'd like to do is just check in. We have the chat, and we'll be able to monitor the chat as well, Amy. What I'm curious is, what are some of the things that, let's say, are challenges now for you as we're in this shutdown and dealing with the pandemic? And so what I'll do, and Amy will do too, is we'll just kind of see what are some of the challenges or some of the experiences that you've had now in growing your business or maintaining your business. And then as we're hearing these chats, perhaps some of the things that we talk about will apply to that, will apply to you. And for me, the intent is to kind of give a sense that, yes, it's hard times. And yes, there's going to be needs that we can certainly address. And there are ways that we can actually grow our business, even though we're confined to our home. And thank goodness we have the technology we do. Because I don't think 10 years ago or more, we would have been able to do these types of things through Zoom or through the internet. So, yeah. And also, if anybody would like to just say, here's what I need, or here's something that would really be useful to me, then we'll weigh in. And the other part, I think, too, with all of us here, there's quite a bit of wisdom in the group. And so there may be some very good insights and aha moments that other people can share as well. So hopefully we'll have enough space for that too. So what I'm going to do now is share this screen. And these are some of the things that I think can present very good coaching opportunities. And let me just go right to here. Through the last month or so, and through various webinars and professionals that I've gotten to know, I've started to make a list and make it larger and larger about some of the dynamics, some of the challenges that we are having. And so I made a list of personal challenges, and professional challenges. And if you think about some of the clients that we have, and I think about this for me too, how do I sustain or continue to have a positive attitude, stay productive, maintain physical fitness, staying connected with family and friends? And then depending on your coaching niche, there's going to be, I think, some real needs. How do we effectively parent through social distancing? If some of you have a niche on parenting children with special needs, that could be a whole nother activity. How do I parent children with special needs? Or how do I maintain the ability to work as well as work with my children through schooling? So there's quite, this is certainly no comprehensive list. Again, we're all cooped up. How do we maintain healthy family relationships? I think it's a great opportunity to say, how do I position myself as a marital or family coach during this time? What are ways that we can grow personally and professionally? So again, I won't read through every single one, but these are some of the things that are going to be challenges and some of the things that we could become an expert on or actually incorporate into our niches. Now, at the bottom, you see the managing anxiety ones. These came from the APA, and these are a number of things that I think so many of us are feeling, you know, managing anxiety related to the health of my family and friends, about my finances and investments. How do I manage my anxiety related to my income, food supplies, etc.? These are really traumatic times, and I think what's going to happen even now, there's going to be a need for coaching as well as mental health professionals, but a lot of these are not going to go away as we're slowly emerging from this. How do we recover from the stress? How do we process the trauma? How do we, you know, get back on our feet? So I think there's going to be tremendous need for those of us who can really address some of the tension and some of the anxieties and issues that so many people are having. I'd like to just share a story before we get to the challenges for clients that are professional. During the Great Depression, there were the two major cereal companies, Kellogg's and Post, and Post kind of withdrew into themselves, and they cut costs, and they didn't advertise, and so they tried to really navigate it as frugally as they could, and then their rival, Kellogg's, on the other hand, used this time for outreach and advertising, and instead they increased their budget. And then the question is, guess who came out of the Depression a whole lot more secure and stronger? and it was certainly Kellogg. So I think what that means for me, or I think for us as coaches, that this is a time where I know my business has been hit about 50% or more, because most of my work is corporate work. And so many businesses are shuttering. A lot of the team development programs and the in-person trainings that I do have now been canceled, and many of them haven't been rescheduled. Not yet, hopefully yet. So now I have a lot of extra time on my hand, and I also am certainly making do with about 50 to 60 to 70% less than what I've used to doing. And so for me, I think the key is, how do I now survey what's going out there and what's going on, and what are the needs of my clients, and what are the things that my skill set and transferable skills, what do I have that can actually now meet the needs of some of the folks that are around me? And so I think if you're doing personal coaching or life coaching, I think these are some of the sample challenges that we all can address. And are there more? Absolutely. Here's a list that I've come up with clients and many of the businesses now that I'm sharing. I also share this with many clients, is to be able to say, from a business standpoint, what are the opportunities that this situation presents? Not only as coaches, but how do I ensure my business survives? So many businesses, you know, how do we help them survive? How do I reposition my products and services to better match customer needs? And I think that's something that I'm grappling with. So now, living in a more virtual world, how can I actually enhance and actually use what I have to meet customer needs? One of my interests and niches is in personality. So I've been putting together a list of, how does each personality type react to stress? How does each type stress the others? And these are going to be blog articles and maybe part of a podcast later on. So how do I, again, these are some other ones, and I'm just going to cherry pick a few of them. But many companies now are working at home. And so I got asked to do some training through Zoom for a number of managers for a medical device company from a contact that I had when I was teaching. The only problem is the COVID-19, there was an outbreak in that company. So they're in a panic mode. And so that training is now put. So even now with Zoom and having a company that is positioned well, they're having to struggle with, okay, how do we keep our staff safe, and how do we manage an outbreak that's now in our facility? So there's plenty of others that could be on here, but how do we become resilient? That seems to be a topic that's I'm seeing a lot as far as webinars and other people posting. Resilience in families, resilience in relationships, flexible working relationships. Many companies that I'm keeping up with, there's a lot of frustration with, okay, how do we maintain workflow and how do we get results now that everybody's working at home? And that's going to be a webinar that I'm going to be putting for companies, because I think, unfortunately, if we don't go to this list and have empathy for all of the personal challenges, I think it's going to be hard for companies to actually say, how do we now optimize performance with this home-based environment? So I think there's a huge need, if we do team coaching, leadership coaching, to really have empathy, and then how do we now make this work? And I think all of the things that were happening in the ideal world with teams that I work with, lack of trust, inability to deal with conflict productively, the silos and that type of thing, the best of times were a problem. What happens now when people are working at home? And so for me, these are articles that could be a blog or a webinar, as I'm now starting to think about, okay, what are the client needs out there? What are the needs of my clients? And how can I help facilitate some insight and work with them? Even if I'm not getting paid, I'll add too. So these are some things that we'll be thinking about. What are the long-term changes in our customers' needs and preferences? And I think also, how do we find the silver lining in this cloud? What are the things that I'm seeing is that on the positive side, I think people seem to be really appreciative and caring of the folks at the grocery store, the food service workers, our healthcare professionals. And it seems so many people that have been taken for granted, we're now appreciating. And I find it paradoxical that the highly paid sports stars, basketball, baseball, football, they're non-essential, but so many of the migrants who are working in the fields are deemed essential. So isn't it interesting how now we're looking at what really matters and then actually looking at, well, we all matter, and look at the people who are keeping us alive that we maybe didn't notice before. And so I think there's a lot of silver linings that as coaches and as for ourselves that we can help clarify and elucidate, if for lack of a better word. One of the things that I struggle with is now leveraging technology. So I'm getting better at Zoom, but now I think for all of us, how do we leverage technology to maintain our business activities, to enhance them and grow them? And I have some thoughts underneath. And then I think as all of us, for coaches as well as businesses, you know, what are new products, services that are going to better match our current needs? So I think what we're looking at is how do we become flexible? How do we, and I guess this is a saying I heard many years ago, that we'll find our leadership at the intersection between the needs and our talents and abilities. So the intersection of our talents and abilities and the needs out there is where I think we'll find our niche and actually our leadership and our ability to help others navigate through this pretty tough time. I added this. This is a really incredible website that's being updated constantly. And this is Harvard, you know, and they've got plenty of support, videos and blogs and resources that you can share to help. How do we cope with the coronavirus and so many different levels too, and resources. So I thought I would add that too. And I find it helpful for me. And it also stimulates some ideas for some articles and some things that I could write about too. So let me just stop and just see what comes up as you're hearing this. And then I don't see the chat. I guess you're seeing it, Amy. So if you could read out anything that comes to mind. So I'll give just a little bit of time.
Sure. So Rochelle observed that everybody is pulling back on their funds. Tony is talking about distractions and detours. And Gail echoes Rochelle that nobody's wanting to invest their money.
Yeah, that's really I won't say that's really good, but I'm really glad that you mentioned that. What I will say is that it's true, many people aren't, and there are some companies I'm working with, and if they don't have funds, I said, look, I'll still do the training. I have two people who I'm doing kind of mid-career coaching. One of them is unemployed and the other one is underemployed. And I said that through this, I'm going to continue coaching and working with them, but I'm not charging. So I'm doing a little bit more pro bono. And so I think that there are going to be many people who can't pay, especially if we're doing life coaching and there are millions, I forgot how many millions now are unemployed or recently unemployed. I think it's in the 20s. I think last week was 21 million. I'm sure it's much higher now. So if people can't afford, if they can't afford their necessities, they're certainly not going to afford coaching as well as many of our businesses. But I do think as we get back to that example of Kellogg's, this is the time, you know, still to increase our visibility, to actually expand our reach and to continue maintaining relationships with our clients, even though they can't pay. And I'm going to just go down to the next page to really think about how can we go through our niche. And I think that is going to be a problem if they can't pay, but I'm going to come from the school of thought that it's going to be crucial that we still show that we're visible, that we have expertise. And one of the things I do believe is that people pay attention to their attention. And for those that can pay, if we have an expertise or something that can help them and they are employed or have resources, then I think that's, you know, one way to maintain some kind of a revenue stream. But anyway, building on what we just shared is, you know, the first question I think that I've had to grapple with, it took me many years to find my primary target or my niche. And that actually came up in a coaches networking event where we had a speaker. And I heard so many coaches introduce themselves, there wasn't enough time for the speaker. So I just said on the top of my head, I'm Peter Metzner. I work with angry executives, and sat down and I got a big laugh, but then I got 7 referrals and that was my niche. Mm-hmm. So I found that my job security is when you have managers who are lacking in emotional intelligence, empathy, and are too driven, they tend to shut people down. And the Gallup poll found people don't leave their jobs, leave their bosses. So that's my niche. But now, how do I translate that into the virtual world? So that's going to be one of my challenges. And so I found that when people paying attention to their tension, so my focus is on teams struggling with communication, trust, issues around conflict and performance. And if anything, it's exacerbated now. So some of the companies I'm working with that are still viable, there's even more of a need. I may have to be a little bit more patient, but I think more of my outreach is now coming out and offering information and making sure that I keep up and understand what their needs are. So I think even though I may not be getting the business, but I'm still in communication and trying to keep my fingers on the pulse, if that makes sense. So here are the questions that I think are universal. You know, what's the number one problem we can solve for others? So as a coach, what are your skills? What's your knowledge? What's your experience? And how are you uniquely positioned to solve some of the problems in a powerful way? And again, who do we want to serve? And I think when we can authentically, help people through any of these challenges, we'll create followers who may not be able to pay now, but certainly refer us. And as things start to normalize, I think that could be our funnel of clients. So I started doing a little bit of research, and I'm going to say right off the bat, I'm not an expert with the pay-per-click advertising. My model has been building relationships. Number one, building relationships with strategic partners. We'll get to that in a second. So mine has been building relationships the old-fashioned way, over the years, building relationships and working with people who have complementary businesses that refer me. So before I share that, what are some things that we can immediately do now that you may or may not have thought about? And again, I have some mixed feelings about Facebook. I think they have done, they're a force in society, and it's not always been a good force, but I think we can use it for ourselves too. And so there are programs where you have pay-per-click advertising, Facebook, Google AdWords, LinkedIn ads, pay-per-click. And this is one way to start sending people in your funnel, to your funnel and content. And that funnel is meaning a sales funnel. And what Facebook does, as well as others, but Facebook, for example, it's easy to target members of our audience, and somehow we can connect to our clients through their demographic, interest, behavior-based advertising. So again, you'd have to budget and the PPC, pay for click costs. But if we are living in a virtual world, then my sense is that this is something that I'm going to explore. And I'm constantly getting emails about the appropriate way to advertise on Facebook. But I think for me, I'm really paying attention to, well, what is my niche, and can I reach my niche that way? So I haven't done this so much, but I know others that are, and they're actually getting clients. And now, since we're in a virtual world, we can reach clients, regardless of what state or where we are, we can work with clients throughout the whole country. And my model has been the old-fashioned way, which I've been blessed. I didn't have to have plane travel because I work with people in the area and do trainings. And now I think I'm going to have to do more and more Zoom, but it's opening up a whole nother world of folks that I can work with. So let's go down to this. And again, this can be done in the old-fashioned way or adjusting to the new. So my business model was building relationships with people who did complementary things. So for me, one of the most effective arrangements or partnership I have is with a couple of HR consulting firms. And so they do onboarding advice, consulting around the whole myriad HR issues. And inevitably, You know, HR people do complain that one of the hardest parts of their job is managing relationships. So with both of these, they found a real need for coaching. And each of them I've been working with 7 or 8 years. And so I get a steady funnel of clients through them. And most of the clients I get, they don't want coaching, but they're told, look, if another person leaves, or if we get another complaint about you, we have to rethink your position. And usually the tension is, well, which is worse, getting fired or talking to Peter? And sometimes I win. Most of the time I win. And I think once they realize that I'm a softy and on their side, it works. So that's been almost easy for me, building a relationship. Can we do that now? Absolutely. So some of these firms, and I also work with a couple of VIP providers, and instead of the talks or the seminars I did in person, now they're becoming webinars. And so for these, I'm able to do the Zoom and work with their clients. And another option that I'm now working with is with a partner is to not only do podcasts, but to start looking at who are the podcasters that I like, who are podcasters that do have topics very similar to what I do, and then either becoming a guest or, you know, working with them to support each other. So there's many creative ways. Another one is blogging. And I've done a blog for the last 10 years, Getting Your Act Together, and I'm going to start posting on that. And I want to just share one coach I know. He's a coach. He used to be a radiologist, and he does EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, tapping, and he does energy work. And so he actually started going on to the internet before me and before the whole crisis, and he wrote a blog that was picked up by Christine Northrup. He got to know Christine Northrup and he followed her blog. She's, if you don't know, she's an OBGYN. She's been on a number of films with Louise Hay and Hay House, well published on healing and positivity and all of the alignment along with Louise Hay, heal your thoughts, you can heal your life. But anyway, he wrote a blog. She picked it up. She has 1 million followers, I think 1.3 million followers. And so all of a sudden, that one blog that he wrote that he sent to her, she loved it so much, she put it out on her Facebook. And now he's got over 1 million people that he's seen. So it's just amazing what can happen just by doing some simple things with technology. And I'm not the earliest adopter, but I'm seeing this, and he's now got a pretty robust business and his work. And he does a lot of his work in group work, EFT tapping, for a whole array of problems as far as anxiety, pain, back pain, et cetera. So that's one thing. And now that leads to becoming an expert. And we all have our expertise. And now I think there's a time where we can create valuable content for a client. So now addressing to that whole aspect is, well, people can't pay. And I think that a lot of them can't pay. But if we position ourselves as an expert and offer something free, like a blog post, a video, podcast, social media post, like my friend Larry did, if the content is good and valuable and seen as helpful, people will start sharing it on social media, and that's how we build our brand. And it can go viral. And I'm just going to share one thing. A friend of mine has a granddaughter who is 14 years old, and she is coaching her friend who wants to drop out of school. There's a lot of anxiety, I think, and many, many difficulties of kids in high school, 14, 15, 16, you know, that at best they were marginal students. They didn't like school. And now here they are at home, and one is considering dropping out. And so she's now creating a program. This 14-year-old is creating a booklet and a program to help her friend become focused. And that's turning out to be a pamphlet that she can now share with other high school students. So here's a 14-year-old that has something that I think has the potential to go viral, because her one friend who's experiencing this, I am sure there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of students who are also suffering some of these same things. And as a 14-year-old coach saying, here's what you need to do, you know, to focus on getting through high school, recognize how important it is, the opportunities, and here's some day-to-day things you can do. So So already at 14, she's becoming an expert, and I'm going to be very curious to see what comes out of her little pamphlet or her booklet. So, yeah, so let me kind of stop there and just see what comes up, if there's any more, Amy, that we can build on this too.
Sure. This might go well with what you're just talking about. Liz is asking how to assist her clients while in this hold stage. She is an executive coach and executive recruiter.
Oh, okay. And so the question is, how do I assist them, or how do I assist my client who's the executive coach and recruiter?
No, she wants to know how she should assist her clients
who I assume
are executives, right?
Okay. Okay. So I think that's a really great question. And I'm going to go right back to this right here. And as an executive coach, if you think about if I'm now, just having an intake or really trying to figure out how can I best help them, well, there's a saying, people pay attention to their tension. And what are the areas that people may have some tension or struggling? And this list is by no means comprehensive, but I do think that these are some of the more common ones. And it could be that any one of these topics, and I'll use my cursor to kind of highlight, any one of these topics could be coaching conversations. You know, how do I implement flexible working arrangements? How do I manage a person who is working at home, has a spouse working at home, and has children of various ages trying to navigate school, and how do I coach them so that they can stay focused and minimize the distractions and yet have kids who are all suffering their own difficulties? And I think one of the hardest ones is, you know, they can't go out and play. They can't see their friends. They can't play football. And so how do they have a healthy connection? And how do you help them from overdoing the social media so that isn't overused or problematic? So I think that it could be that, again, any of these could be a coaching conversation. And I think doing a simple intake. So what's your current situation? What are the things that you're needing and wanting to get through this? What are some of the problems you're experiencing? And it could be that any one of these or a number of these could be some of the things that they're grappling with. I'm already hearing, you know, with some companies I'm working with, some of the managers are very frustrated because the output and productivity has gone down. And on my end, this is going to be a challenge. How do I balance empathy and support with holding people accountable? That's probably another activity that I could have put on here, another challenge. So how do I show empathy and support and flexibility and yet hold people accountable to executing what they need to do? And these could be conversations. Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Amy. I was just musing.
I wanted to circle back to distractions and detours, personal challenges. I don't know how many of us are newly working from home, but I can see that might be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and again, it would be good to get a little bit more detail. So what are some of the major distractions? Well, we're working at home, so that's a huge adjustment. And for me, I've been, kind of home-based for many years, but 80% of my work was done in person, 20% on the phone or virtually. And I think all of us are going to have different challenges with the distractions. Some of us may have kids or newborn or teenagers. Some of us may have a living space where now both partners are working, and how do we manage to be able to be focused given all of these distractions? So I think that's going to be, unique to so many people. And that also could be one for coaching or self-coaching too. How do we manage these distractions and how do we stay focused on what we want? And, or how do we actually create an intention that, okay, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to grow my business and I'm going to do it in a way that's, you know, mindful, healthy, forward thinking. And I think part of it starts with an intention. And then the other part, I think, is, well, how do I do self-care and maybe loosen the noose a little bit so that I give myself what I need personally, so that I find myself feeling guilty if I'm not productive, but I'm also learning to loosen the noose a little bit, so to speak, so that I'm giving myself space to take a walk, time to meditate, time to read that book that I hadn't read, and time to really just kind of grieve. And I think that's, for me, something I live in my head so much, but I think it's important to really grieve this way of life that we've lost, and also to say, okay, this is a loss, and yet at the same time, how do I heal and how do I become a presence that can help others through the process? So I think all of these things, managing distractions and some of the things that we're going through, I think as we navigate them as successfully as possible, we can also help clients as well. And I do believe if we go back to here, we can offer insight services and position ourselves and as experts now, I think, more than ever. And I'll tell you just another story, too. One psychologist I know who's also a coach, she's a people map trainer as well. And she's been a contributing writer to Forbes magazine. And so she writes regularly for them, and that's positioned her as an expert. And so she also now, because of that, she has a pretty good following. And so she's been writing articles related to some of these things that we've been talking about, managing distractions in our personal life, developing resilience, building your business as well, or looking for opportunities. So because she is a writer, she actually now has that extra amount of visibility and credibility, and it's also helping her with her content too. So hopefully that helps. That helps. And I think the distraction would be, you know, to me, kind of a sense of maybe putting that up into our, you know, as we, I want to leave some time so that we can have a discussion too. But what are some of the ways that you all have been managing the distractions? What are some of the ways that you found have been helpful to maintain visibility as well as, you know, staying in front of your clients and finding different avenues for revenue? Would be helpful to see what y'all are doing too.
Okay, I do have a few comments here, Peter.
Okay.
Okay, Michelle says, I like your examples of how people are producing content and extending their reach, gets the creativity and wheels in my mind turning. Thanks.
Great.
Rochelle says, ideas that I'm doing. I am giving it all away for free right now, blogging a bunch on many of these topics, posting on LinkedIn, not Facebook, lots of motivating memes, and giving my webinar for free to all associates through the end of May. I'm hoping that will parlay into paying corporate speaking webinar gigs and coaching clients. I coach high performers and executives to their max performance without burning out.
Wow. Yeah, Rochelle, thank you for that. I think that's really good. I'm doing some similar things that, you know, I have a client that I'm cultivating and I was told they don't have a budget. And I said, well, look, you know, because of this time, let's do the work and let's do a couple of webinars and let's, you know, because there's a real need. They have a team, dysfunctional team, and let's say defining dysfunction as lack of trust, siloed, they're not performing as well as a team, some conflicts. So they need the work, and but they can't pay for it. So like you, Rochelle, I'm going to give that for free if they don't have the budget. And in time, you know, if, you know, business moves at the speed of relationships, and even though we may not have many of these relationships may not be in a able to pay our market rate or pay at all, I think it's still important to build them. And I think what you're doing, I think, is really great. And it's keeping your name out there and you're still enhancing the relationships that you have.
I look at it as I'm building my business in a depression, not trying to keep my business going. Mm-hmm. I think attitude has a lot to do with it and how you present yourself.
Yes. Yes. Right. Right. And I think that, you know, how we present ourselves, being mindful, being present, grieving, but at the same time, you know, having that sense of optimism. And for so many people that are experiencing anxiety, if they have concrete steps that they can do to navigate this, the anxiety will diminish and there'll be some forward movement. So, yeah, I think that that's really great. And even though there may not be the funding and we may not have the income coming in as we'd like, there is a really great need. And I think there'll be an even greater need once the economy starts picking up again. There'll be a really pronounced need for coaching on all of these areas, executive, personal, family, et cetera.
I was kind of thinking that there could be an opportunity for coaches on a higher level as these companies, I'm thinking more medium and small size versus, you know, like Google and that. These medium and smaller companies are really going to need help in figuring out how to reopen. They shut down like that, then reopening, their employees are scared, they're stressed. And work's been looked at. So they'll need coaching around that too.
I think so too. And I think that could be a niche right there too. You know, working with small to medium companies, how do we reopen? And how do we deal with many of the issues around anxiety related to health? And then effectively, what is a business model that's going to be sustainable? How do I manage people who are now suffering, you know, some of this trauma or PTSD that I'm sure so many will have? So there's going to be so many areas that we can actually assist and work with.
Thanks for the new blog title.
So tell me with the blog title, what did I just say?
How do we reopen? How do we reopen after COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a great blog title. How do we reopen after COVID-19? Or how do we, you know, the fresh start, you know, how do we renew and what's going to be the healthy?
It's a new opportunity, right? How are we going to keep the world healthy now that it's starting to feel better and you're starting to feel better? I'm hoping some people are actually getting, maybe if they're finally, they can let go of some of the work stress.
Yes.
So, you know, careful what you wish for.
Well, and here's a silver lining that I'm seeing, and I think we alluded earlier, and tell me, and this will be interesting in our chat room too, if others are noticing this, that are you seeing that people are starting to focus on what really matters? And looking at so many of the things that I did, do they really matter? The things that I spent so much time fretting about, obsessing about, does that really matter? What really matters now? And these could be, I think, all great coaching conversations or blogs or podcasts.
Somebody wrote something down here I thought was great. Sharon said, sorry, Amy, I don't mean to do this for you, but it's a great question. How will we assist employees who have sheltered in place so long that they fear being around others?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. But we coach around fear.
We do. Right. And then the thing is, how do we discern what is an anxiety that we can work with, or when does it become clinical? And that could be also another blog post, or, you know, so many people who do have underlying issues around anxiety, depression, et cetera, they will need mental health experts. And then it could be, you know, as coaches, how do we discern, how do we help folks? And when is it that they might need a mental health professional too?
So we have some conversation, interesting conversation about artistic musician family members stuck in New York City apartments and kind of how to reach out into the world with streaming video. I'm seeing comments about the importance of acknowledging feelings and the grief to kind of make room for the other good stuff, the good energy. Mm-hmm. And then I have a question. What will you bring forward to the post-pandemic world?
What will you bring forward to the post-pandemic world? That's a great one. That could be a blog art. That could be a blog. It could be a podcast. What will you bring forth in the post-pandemic world? And I think it's also a great coaching question, you know, whether it's the executive That was a good call. That was a very good cough, the way you modeled that. So, right, these are, I think, very good. And I think that as, let's say, helping professionals, I think these are on the domain of really seeing what is going out in the world, what are the areas of tension and need, and how do we now position ourselves to be knowledgeable and helpful in that area. And I think the silver lining in this is that the technology is really can be very effective in helping us get to those clients, and we don't have to be limited by geographic area as much anymore.
Okay, we've got, I wonder if you will find that some of these angry executives will be more tolerant or somehow less concerned about the things that they found annoying about others.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good question, and I'm working with a couple of them right now. The companies that seem to be still thriving are the pharmaceutical, biopharmaceutical, medical, and some of the shipping companies. A number of the people I work with are engineers, are highly technical, very task-oriented, and empathy and emotions. You could say that there's a high amount of emotional illiteracy, and that's a real challenge. And a number of them are frustrated. Well, I get the job done. Why can't they? And what's wrong with them? And I think for me, it's a real coaching opportunity to help individuals like that develop empathy, and then also to help them recognize, well, here are all the things that they may be grappling with. So the list that was shared earlier is to say, think about some of these things they're grappling with. So how do we balance empathy, compassion, at the same time, you know, work at helping people develop challenges? I think one of the things that we all need, even with social distancing, in every company, as well as individual, we need to have a sense of belonging, a sense of community, but we also need to have a sense of identity. And this is what we can all do as coaches. Now, as I believe in building identity capital. So my identity is growing, I like to think, but how do we help people really fully develop their identity? What are their capacities? What are the things that they never allowed themselves to do as far as hobbies or interests? And for some, it could be, how do I translate that and monetize it or make it viable? So I think that it could be now really getting people, this is what I often work with in a midlife transition, is to help people, well, who are you really? So I've had this defined self of shoulds and oughts and expectations, but who am I really? What energizes me? And for many, this is a time where they can start really reflecting, who am I, what really matters, and how do I move more towards vocation and being of service? What are the needs out there? So I think that as coaches, we can really help people build their identity capital. And I think for us, there's a summons of how do we continue to build our own identity capital too? And how do we make this meaningful? You know, we need belonging, identity, we need meaning and purpose. And I think these are all things that coaching can help address. How do I, you know, make meaning out of this? And how do I now live purposefully? And how do I align my behaviors and growth towards, you know, addressing what really matters?
So we've got a good follow-up comment to that from Tracy, who says, uh-huh. I think there will be an opportunity to connect with people who become more self-reflective while at home, but uh-huh. run the risk of returning to a superficial life of distraction when things open up.
Mm. Yes. I think it reminds me, that comment reminds me of what happened in Hurricane Fran in 1996 here in the Chapel Hill area. We were living in the woods and about 40 trees fell down all around the house, 40, I kid you not, and happened to all the neighbors. And so for a week, we all got our chainsaws and we helped each other out so we could get out of the driveway and we cleared the dirt road that we're living on. And it was really one of the most meaningful times. All the neighbors, we talked together, we sat on the logs, we had lunches we really socialized. But then, wouldn't you know, as soon as the electricity came back, everybody went back to their old ways, and we didn't talk to each other except in passing. So I think that could be a really good focus as well. An article, a blog, is how do we continue to stay towards what's meaningful and not go back to superficial kind of activities. I think that could be a really great coaching niche or endeavor, article, blog, or whatnot, too.
Okay, I've got a couple of more comments here. Sharon, how do we coach those? These two are related, so I'll read them both. How do we coach those who must now find a new career path? There will be many new options and some current options that are no longer as viable. Yeah. And then Liz says, I'm finding that business life will change going forward and corporations will find face-to-face meetings not necessary as much. Traveling salespeople and executives will change. How do we help people with these changes?
Yeah, those are really great questions. And I think those are going to be the things. These are the post-pandemic things that we'll be grappling with. How do we now, for some people, coach people with a new career? And this is that career coaching niche. And I think for all of us, it's going to take being a learner, saying, okay, for me, I'm one of my signature strengths when I did the Strength Finders years ago, I'm a learner and connectedness. So I'm constantly reading and trying to see what are the trends, you know, what are the blogs, what TED Talks or whatnot, what are some of the things that we're seeing. So I think these are some questions that for us, that's kind of a summons for growth, is that if I'm one of my niches is career coaching, if I'm saying, and that's not so much mine, but when I do work with people going through the midlife transition, it's moving from having a job that pays the bills and establish myself to how do I find something that's authentic me, that's integrating my natural strengths, what I'm passionate about, that brings me joy, and how do I then put that to use in meaningful ways that are serving the needs of the community around me. And that's, I think, a really great coaching niche. You know, how do we help people connect to their passion, their talents, figure out what their talents are, and then what are the needs out there that can actually address and work with. And I think there'll be a huge need for that. There'll be many people in career transitions trying to find their new careers. And I think that's the other part. Some businesses will no longer open. There's some businesses that may be so impaired. So how do, what are the needs out there and how do we help people regroup, retrain and meet the needs that are out there in society? And I think part of it will be, how do we become as coaches and mentors in our work, how do we become mindful and see these trends as they're evolving? So it's a summons for us as well to continue to grow and observe and see the opportunities that are starting to arise.
Sharon says, will the post-pandemic world be simpler and more meaningful?
Will it be? Yeah. Well, I think that's a really interesting question. Will the post-pandemic world be more meaningful? And I think for some it is. I think, you know, to me, the way I look at psychological health, you know, those four things. Do I have a strong sense of identity, knowing who I am, what my values are, what my principles are, what my strengths are? Am I making my life meaningful? And do I have a sense of community and belonging? And do I have a purpose? And that for me is a lifelong endeavor, years and years and years of workshops. Can't tell you how many countless workshops trying to address those issues, but I think those are going to be the topics that are going to be really, really necessary. And I guess my answer to that, or my sense of that is that for some people, they will go back to superficial life. And for some, this will be a kind of awakening into, okay, we're only here for a short time. And so many of us have suffered and others have not fared too well. So how do I make this journey as meaningful, as purposeful, and as joyful as possible? And I think these are all domains that we can coach and work with people. And again, Rochelle, I think we have another blog article. Yeah.
You know, should have recorded this. Is it being recorded? Oh, good. We can go back and listen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, so we're all lights. I like to think that we're all shining lights. And as we are doing our work and as we're answering these questions for ourselves and as we're adapting, as we're pivoting, as we're using technology, to kind of leverage the things that we know we're good at. There are going to be so many needs out there. And I think it will just take a little bit of creativity. And with LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm posting things on LinkedIn. I haven't used Facebook, but I've seen like my friend Larry, who wrote a very interesting blog post that got picked up by Christine Northrum, a million people. And I have no doubt that he's going to do fine, you know, as he's positioning the emotional freedom technique to deal with a lot of the anxieties and troubles that people have. So I think he's going to be very busy. And I think that these are, I think, some examples that that we can use. And I think we all have to figure out what's uniquely, you know, when I think about what's our DNA as a coach, what's distinguishable, notable, and authentic about ourselves, you know, what's distinguishable, notable, and authentic about ourselves, and how do we get the word out? And I think at least with technology, it's very doable. So is there anything else coming up, Amy, that we can put on the table, or any other discussions, or maybe even invite folks to share, here's what I found worked, or here's what I'm doing that I'm having some success with? That could be helpful too.
Sure. Let's see. Liz says, yes, career transitions will be in demand. I offer that. Great suggestion.
Okay,
let's help each other as coaches and recommend each other for our niches.
Yes. Yes. And I think through the ILCT, we have that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're not already part of the coaches community, let me know and we can get you connected. That's a closed group of coaches on Facebook. It's only for students or former students of ILCT. Mm-hmm. So that's a great place to connect.
Yeah. Yeah, to support each other. And I think, too, it's that there's so many needs out there. And if there's something out of my niche, I'm very, very, very happy to refer somebody.
Sure. Sharon says, we are now learning to live with less. As coaches, we will work with clients who are adjusting to needing the essential elements of life.
Yeah. You know, and that could be another blog article, living with less and feeling fulfilled. You know, finding meaning and fulfillment with living with less. And, you know, when I taught psychology, I never saw a correlation between material things and happiness. I mean, money ranks right up there with oxygen, you know, granted, but I've never seen a correlation between happiness and material things and wealth. And so now I think we're forced, so many of us are forced, that we're giving up a lot of these things that we had. And I think many will start to realize we didn't need this. So what is it that we really need to be happy? And that could be a whole other area of coaching and potentially writing or blogging or podcasting too.
Somewhere along the line, you said distinguishable, notable, and authentic. Charlotta loved that. And Rochelle says should versus must. Want versus need.
These are great. How do we get clients to move through that? Another thing that I can't help but think, if you look at Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of grief, you know, of course there's the denial, and there was the denial of the coronavirus on so many fronts. Then there's the bargaining, and then now we're seeing the anger with these protests. And I think we're also going to see a collective depression. I mean, I grieve and I feel bad some days, you know, for, you know, a loss of the way of life and how many people are suffering. There's going to be the depression, but ultimately the acceptance. And I think for me, when somebody recognizes that I'm going through these stages of grief, denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and then acceptance, that I think it's very appropriate that we can help people recognize, well, you know, there is going to be a grieving and it's okay to be angry. I mean, this is unfair. Some people, a lot of people have dropped the ball. Some of them, you know, people, our leaders certainly aren't behaving in the ways we'd like to. But yet when we come to that place of acceptance, so here's the cards we've been dealt. Now, how do we make it work? And I think part of, our work, along with the mental health experts along the way, is how do we help people get to that place of acceptance and come to a place that, okay, here's the situation and here are some strategies that I can best navigate it. And I think in every coaching niche, there's going to be a need on every area, whether it be parenting, relationship, family, business, et cetera.
Diane says, former hospice nurse here. Some have added the next phase of grieving is making meaning.
Making meaning, yeah. I think probably Elizabeth Kubler-Ross could have put that in there too. How do we make meaning out of this? And I think that's really important to how do we make meaning out of this? Because if we don't make meaning out of this, we'll suffer. And I remember, I think it was Kubler-Ross, and I think others that said that neurosis is suffering without meaning. And I think the meaning is going to be really important. So we're suffering, but how do we make it meaningful? You know, I'm also reminded the Greek god Aesculapius, the Greek god of medicine, decreed that it's through suffering we come to wisdom. So there's another potentially, how does this suffering bring us to wisdom? What have we learned? So yeah, these comments are great. And I think for me, hopefully it's helpful too, but it also stimulates some thought that, you know, as coaches, here's really some things that we can do to help this process and help people in their process of recovering and getting back in a saddle.